From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. For a lot of us, choosing a hairstyle comes down to what we think would look best or expresses our personality. But for Black Americans, choosing a hairstyle means thinking about whether it might affect your employment, or for children, whether it complies with school rules. John Oliver recently talked about this on his HBO show Last Week Tonight.
You might remember the terrible case of high school wrestler Andrew Johnson, who was basically forced to cut his locks off or forfeit an important wrestling match by a referee. That case made national news, but there are hundreds of others that don't. From the school in Kentucky that once banned, and I quote, dreadlocks and corn rolls, to twin sisters in Massachusetts that received hours of detention because of their braided hair. So Black people from an early age are often told that their hair is unattractive and needs to be corrected. And that is already just a lot. Before you even start getting into all the ways that society makes it difficult to navigate the world because of your hair.
Meanwhile, lawmakers in Springfield are considering whether to ban hair discrimination in work and school. Yesterday afternoon, I spoke with a sponsor of the school legislation, State Senator Mike Simmons, a Democrat who represents the north side of Chicago. I was also joined by Ida Nelson, whose four-year-old son was told he had to take out his braids at his school, Providence St. Mel, on the west side of Chicago. Because we taped this conversation in order to meet the senator's schedule, we're not taking calls during this segment, but you can still let us know what you thought. All the ways to contact us are on our website, 21stshow.org. All right, here are State Senator Mike Simmons and Ida Nelson. So Ida, can you talk about what happened when your son wore his braids to school?
Well, on March 2nd, my son asked that I braid his hair. He showed me a picture of what he wanted, or the vision that he had for his hair, and he was pretty excited about it. So I thought it would be fun, it'd be cool to allow him to embrace his culture. So I braided his hair, sent him to school on March 3rd, and received a call from the dean alerting me that the hairstyle was a violation of the school dress code, which was actually pretty shocking to me that I was receiving this call about a four-year-old and his hair being a violation of the dress code in 2021 at an all-Black school. I took the hair down when he came home, and I put his hair in like a ponytail, and as just to, you know, to groom his hair, sure, to make it look neat. Sent him to school the following day, where I received a follow-up call stating that that hairstyle was also a violation of the dress code. And I said, okay, well, I don't want to be, I'm not a rule breaker. So I said, well, did you want to just take his ponytail down? She said, oh no, I don't want to traumatize him in that way by touching his hair. And I said, okay, so you understand that the trauma that is associated with, or, you know, that it could be problematic to bother his hair. And so she said she did. Each person that I spoke with at the school stated that they understood where I was coming from with my concerns about them having rules in place that govern Black children's hair. But it was stated to me that it was not something at the time that they were willing to change. It was not until I started this campaign where I brought a lot of awareness and publicity to the school that they even said that they would consider changing the or evaluating the rule, which they say they would do at the end of the year now.
How did your son feel about going through this experience?
Well, when I took his braids down, he cried. He did not understand because he was really excited about the hairstyle. I wish you could see the pride and the joy in his face when I braided his hair and he went to the mirror, smiling, looking, you know, everyone in the household was coming down. He's our baby boy, so we all kind of dote on him anyway. So everybody came down after he got his hair braided and like was like, you know, cheering him on, and he's smiling and so excited about his hair. And so when we took his hair down, he cried about that. And he asks just about every day when I'm gonna braid his hair. And at one point I was like trying to braid it on the weekend. But to braid his hair, you know, and then take it down on Sunday night is kind of cumbersome. And so I don't want to have to braid his hair, you know, go through this elaborate styling to just to take it down 2 days later. And so he's pretty unhappy, but I've told him that we're working on changing that, whereas he can wear his hair however he wants really soon.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story. Senator Simmons, I wonder, did you experiencing anything like that when you were in school?
You know, my experience of it was more of a kind of subtle, slow drip. I didn't mention to you when we talked the first time is something similar actually happened to me when I was about five, but it came from within the family where my mom actually gave me some short locks. And there was another member of the family. It was like, why are you doing that to him? It's going to make things hard for him. And so you had this kind of self-policing, and it gets to the point that I heard somebody saying in an interview the other day about how sometimes this kind of discrimination against Black bodies can come from anybody. This is a systemic issue, which means people are agents of this systemic discrimination and they don't even realize it, but it doesn't let them off the hook. Mm-hmm. So that was my first experience with it. And then when I was in middle school and high school, I remember teachers would make the most inappropriate comments and belittling and humiliating side comments about my hair or things about my body. And I knew then that was like, there's a boundary being crossed here, but I don't really have the language for it. Mm-hmm. And that is something that I experienced for years. And a number of my other peers who were Black, also Black youth, went through those same experiences in the 90s. And so I don't want the next generation of Black youth to have to go through this. I don't want Jet and his mom to have to experience this. Mm-hmm. I think it's time to turn the page on this kind of stuff because we have bigger fish to fry in our schools. We're there to learn. And we shouldn't be there policing people's bodies and hair, particularly Black people, because we have been through too much in this country as it is, and it's time to really step into a new moment.
If I can add something to it,
please.
The rules, as I've evaluated them, seem to very much so target Black hair. There are certain rules, like even in their handbook related to the sponging of the hair, there's no way that you can even achieve the sponging hairstyle except that you have African blood. Locks, cornrows, those are not styles that are worn by any other culture other than Black people. So it's like there's a creation of more ways for Black people to get in trouble or to be told like you're breaking the rules. And that's another part of the culture that just needs to change.
I want to take a moment to remind our listeners, if you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking today with Ida Nelson, whose son wore braids to school, 4 years old, was told by the school, no, those have to come out. And she has become an activist on this issue. We're also speaking with State Senator Mike Simmons, Democrat from Chicago, who is sponsoring legislation that would prohibit discrimination in schools based on hair or on hairstyles. Senator Simmons, let me ask you, there's other legislation that's working its way through the General Assembly, the Crown Act, which is Create a Respectful and Open Workplace for Natural Hair, I think is the acronym there. Can you talk about how your legislation and that legislation, differ, how they might be working together to achieve the similar ends?
Yeah. So first, I want to give a shout out to my colleague, Senator Maddie Hunter from the South Side of Chicago. She is the sponsor of that legislation. And the good thing is her bill and my bill both have passed out of the Senate. And our bills do exactly the same thing, only hers applies to workplaces, mine applies to schools. So you get both bills working in tandem, and they both are moving through the House of Representatives at this time.
Senator, your legislation, I noticed, passed, 40-13, I think, when it came out of the Senate. Did I? For those of us who didn't get a chance to hear the debate, did any of the 13 people who voted no explain what their objections were? Do you want to respond? Have you heard objections from people about this?
Yeah. So, listen, I've been in the Senate for about 100 days. I just marked my 100 days actually yesterday. I'm still observing, very much looking for patterns and because, politics is what it is. But there were a couple of my colleagues that approached me and said, we understand what you're trying to do with this. We think it's great. Can't support the bill because I got to vote my district. And my refrain there is that, folks put us here to lead. Leadership is hard. It was not easy for me to introduce this bill. It was not easy for me to put myself in a place of vulnerability as a freshman senator on such a high profile issue. But I did it because it was the right thing to do. And there are a lot of people right now, we're in a Black Lives Matter movement. A lot of people are wanting to be allies and wanting to put up signs that say Black Lives Matter and wanting to go to the rallies and everything else. They have got to walk the walk. And I just don't have a lot of patience for people that want to have it both ways, specifically on an issue as straightforward as this one.
Ida Nelson, I want to ask you, we've been talking about the ways that school dress codes directly target the way that Black people have traditionally worn their hairstyles, in some cases for centuries. But setting aside those codes, you know, the message that African-Americans need to wear their hair straight or not in traditional styles like braids or dreads, it is reinforced from a young age culturally. Is that something that you personally were affected by? And what effect did that have on your identity and confidence?
Oh, absolutely. It had an effect on me. It wasn't until 2019 that I really got an understanding of how it had affected me. And I'll give a specific situation, whereas I've always worn my hair in a straight hairstyle. I also went to Providence St. Mel as a youth for middle school in the beginning of my freshman year. And the rule was in existence at that time. And I did not, I was already kind of used to or had been groomed to understand that I needed to wear my hair straight in order to be acceptable. I started getting my hair pressed probably when I was, 7 or 8 years old, in order to look presentable. And so that wasn't a foreign idea to me, but when I started to grow and trying to figure out what my identity was and went through a huge identity crisis, you know, a few years ago, when I realized that no matter what I did to try to fit into corporate America, be it wearing my hair straight, you know, doing the makeup or, you know, the light makeup or not wearing my nails a certain way, dressing extremely professional, no matter what I did, I could not change the fact that I was a Black woman. And, you know, whenever I would try to do something like wear my hair in an ethnic style, like I would want to try it, I would see them on people think that it looked nice. I would be afraid to do that because I thought that I would be judged negatively. And then fast forward 2019, I had gotten laid off. I was about to interview for a job, but I had tried the faux lock hairstyle. I was thinking about locking my hair. And I had an interview the same week that I installed this natural hairstyle. And I was sitting there trying to decide if I was going to take my hair down and wear my hair in a straight style, or if I was going to show up, you know, in my authentic self, which was how I was feeling right then, you know, and made the decision that I had to choose. I didn't know if the interviewer was going to understand my hair and why I had it that way, or if they were going to make assumptions about who I was as a person. Maybe they would think I was too militant. Maybe they think I was too Black. You know, maybe they think I would fit in with their office culture. Maybe they didn't think that I looked professional as an executive assistant and therefore wouldn't give me the job. And so I felt like I needed to make a decision between showing up as my authentic self and providing for my family. And I went with providing for my family, and I took my hair down and I straightened my hair for that interview. Now, and I felt horrible that I had done that. I didn't feel very good about myself for that. And so what that did for me was start me to thinking and to understanding that I didn't want my children to ever feel that way. So when my daughter, I have a 22-year-old daughter who is, she's an environmental and civil engineer. And she's had an internship that she was interviewing for last year. And I told her she had her hair like in a natural twist out type hairstyle. And she was asking me if she should straighten her hair before she went in for that interview. And I said, no, you don't have to make those types of decisions. You know, that is why you've worked so hard. You show up as your authentic self, you know. And I was able to encourage her to do something that the year before I didn't feel like I had the courage to do. And that's the same thing that I'm trying to instill in all of my children and the rest of the, you know, the children of the United States. I want them to learn early what I learned late, which is to embrace yourself, all of yourself, and that you don't have to change your hair to fit in with anyone else's culture. Rather, show up as your authentic self. And if that's the place that you are supposed to be, then they will accept you for who you are. And then you educate people on, you know, how dope you are with your hair in a twist out or a dreadlock style or a braid, a corn roll. It does not change, you know, who you are, except it actually just makes you more empowered, you know? So that's where I'm at with that.
Ida Nelson is the mother of a son who was told to take out his braids at Providence St. Mel School on the west side of Chicago. She's become an activist on this issue. We've been speaking with her and State Senator Mike Simmons, Democrat from Chicago. Ida Nelson, Senator Simmons, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today on the 21st.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us here and for raising awareness on this issue. I think it's really important that you're doing this.
More to come after a short break. You're listening to The 21st. Stay with us.